Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the fourth chapter of the book of Exodus for our second reading. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or, who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Sephora took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, Surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, not one of Moses' most complimentary chapters, we might say. So, at the beginning, we have the end of the interview there on the mount where the bush burned and was not consumed. Remember, by this time, Moses still has his shoes off. He's still talking to the Lord pertaining to this conversation that they're having in and around that burning bush, that sign that the Lord had set up to draw Moses aside so that he might speak with him. And so in verses 1 through 9 then, the conversation goes on and the Lord tells Moses what he's going to do, that he's going to send him, and Moses has already expressed a little bit of reticence. Now he expresses more. He says, they won't hear me. They won't listen to me. I tried this once before when I was in Egypt. I presented myself as their deliverer. They didn't hear me then. Why should I think they would hear me now? And the Lord says to Moses, what do you have in your hand? That's my rod. I'm a shepherd. I've carried this rod for years. It's my rod. Throw it on the ground. And he does, and the Lord turns it into a snake. It says that Moses fled. Moses ran. He ran from the snake. It was his rod a minute ago, but it was a snake now. And what do you do from snakes? You run from them. And so he did. And so the Lord tells him then to stop and pick it up. Notice that this is an act of faith on the part of Moses. He picks up the snake. It becomes a rod in his hand once again. That's the first sign. Second sign, take your hand, put it in your coat, bring it out. It'll be leprous. Put it back in and bring it out again. It'll be healed. The third sign, if they'll not believe those two signs, then you'll take water out of the river, that is that river that they worshipped, the Nile River, and pour it out on the ground, and when you pour it out, it will become blood. And these will be the signs, and this will give them, and this will help them to believe that I have been with you. So, the Lord gives him some great assurances. Now, in the face of those great assurances, Moses says, I still don't want to go. Remember, he's got a pretty comfortable existence there in Midian, serving Jethro. Every day he gets up, wanders the fields with his sheep. It's not a bad life. He's gotten a son. He has a wife. It's pretty quiet. Nice country life. Time to go to Egypt. They won't hear me. Okay, well, here's the signs. So now they will hear you. Oh, but I'm not eloquent. That's the next excuse. I'm just not eloquent. I just don't think I can do what you're asking me to do. Don't you love the Lord's response? Who made man's mouth? Who made man's mouth? That's not a reason. If I'm sending you, I'm sending you, and I made your mouth. Now notice there's this conversation that goes on, and Moses does something here that I think is very, very common among Christians. Let's think about this together for a moment, and let's make this maybe one of the main uses of this chapter, this short chapter reading. Short? Yeah, short. Moses says then to the Lord, after the Lord says, who made man's mouth? Moses says this, putting on his best pious face. Oh Lord, send whoever it is you want to send then. And it says that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses when he said that. Why? Because when he said, send whoever you want to send, the Lord had already said who he wanted to send. Moses refused to listen. Moses already knew whom the Lord was sending, and he was not really enamored with that idea. And so he took a step back and piously asserted that he was willing for the Lord to do, "Oh Lord, whatever you want to do, send whoever you want." The reason the anger of the Lord was kindled was because the Lord had already made it known what he wanted. So often the Lord makes it known in his word what he wants from us. And we say, "Lord, whatever it is that you want," when he says, "I've already told you." The anger of the Lord was kindled then against Moses. And I hope you appreciated your King James Version's dividing of the second person pronouns here, because here's what the Lord says. He says, "Okay, well, I know your brother Aaron, he can speak well. He will be your mouthpiece, and you'll be that which informs." In other words, you'll speak the word of God to him. So that's what God means when he says you'll be like a God to Aaron. In other words, you'll speak the word of God to him, and Aaron will speak it, and I'll be with your mouth and with his mouth. And then note what the Lord says here. "Thou shalt speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you," not thee, "I will teach you, both of you, what ye, both of you, shall do." Did you see that? Did you catch that? Not thee and thou, not just you, Moses, but I will do mightily on behalf of both of you. So again, that's a great translation there from your King James, dividing that second person singular and plural, so that when the Lord speaks to Moses, he tells him for sure that it is with him and Aaron that he will be, in order that the message is not lost or forgotten. All right, so then we go down to verse 18, and 18 and following then is Moses going back to Jethro and saying, I need to go back to my people. Jethro says, "That's good, that's fine." Notice Jethro doesn't hold him back. There's no objection recorded. That's a good thing. All right, so then we have this curious situation at the inn. It is somewhat curious, but Moses was blameworthy. Let's remember how blameworthy Moses was. What did the Lord say to Abraham when he instituted circumcision? That if you have a man child and you do not circumcise him, that you have created a great sin before the Lord, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. To deny circumcision to a Jewish child, and by the way, we reference this in our confession with regard to baptism, because we believe that baptism is the New Testament equivalent, showing forth the same thing that circumcision did of old, and expanded gospel principles, or New Testament principles as well, that the neglect of the sign is a great sin. And so let's remember that as we see the angel of the Lord going out as an enemy to Moses then, because he had not circumcised his son. And that then falling to his wife, Tsephora, and Tsephora circumcises Gershom and casts the foreskin at the feet of Moses, laying the blame at his feet that son was not yet circumcised, if you will. Moses was blameworthy. Moses was blameworthy, and the Lord came out as an enemy against him. Let us not think that the Lord takes these things lightly. He doesn't. When we sin against the Lord, especially as his people, it is a grievous thing. And I know we sin so often and so pervasively that we become complacent and nonplussed. But that the heart of a child of God truly is expressed over and again in the Psalms, especially by David, where there is horror and abhorrence that takes us, that overtakes us because of our sins. All right, so then we have the reunion between Aaron and Moses, and the trip back to Egypt, and the setting forth of the word and the signs. Notice, not just the signs. Moses didn't just come to town, lay down the rod, become a snake, and everybody says, ooh-ah, whatever you want, we'll do. He comes into town and he gives them the word and the signs. And this is commensurate with all the dispensations throughout the scriptures, when God would move in a particular direction and sends a prophet or an apostle with signs, those signs are always accompanied by the Word of God, because a bare sign doesn't teach anything, doesn't add anything to faith, right? We're going to see that as we get into Egypt with the next chapter, that Moses does some stuff and the Egyptian magicians do it also. That signs are just signs, but what we're after is the Word, and the signs simply draw the attention to the Word. And so the chapter ends with, Moses told them all that the Lord told him, and they believed. That's the point. Faith is the goal, not a big ooh-ah over the signs, right? Okay, let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of Psalms.